Oh, well, now we're good. Good. Good morning. It's good to have you all with us this morning, and that surprise coming through our windows, which is, I believe, sunshine in some different places. A few announcements before we get started. Just a reminder, our young adult Bible study will take place after worship in the parsonage. Cares and prayers, they will not meet this Tuesday, but they will meet next Tuesday, the 27th. We've kind of switched our schedule up for Lent. We're going to meet on March 13th for a one time during March because we have the Lenten lunch on Mondays, and we also have Lenten programming on Wednesday, so we want to give people a little bit of a breather once in a while. But please don't forget, tomorrow we start our Lenten lunch programming, which begins noon here at Shenrun. Very similar to Brown Bag and Big Ideas. If you've done that in the summer, bring a lunch, and it's a time for fellowship and reflection. All the churches in the valley are going to be talking about this inside-out theme that you see on the back of your bulletin that Pastor John's wrote wonderfully about all the emotions we go through in our faith. And it'll be a good time for all of us to reflect as a community on how God impacts our emotions. February 21st, that's this coming Wednesday, our Lent programming begins from 6 to 7:30, and we're going to look at those faith and feelings, and we're going to look a little deeper into kind of some of those emotion and what Scripture says about fear and how we respond to fear and how we have many different examples of that. And we'll go through those emotions different week and have a little fun, look at some Disney clips and kind of digress some of these things. Please don't forget, we are really glad to see that everybody signed up and filled all our food and our salad, soup and salad sign up. Don't forget your week. We'll try to give you a little reminder and let you know when that's coming, but we appreciate that everybody was willing to volunteer for that. A few announcements about our upcoming mission trip as far as fundraising. We still have coupon booklets that are on sale for $5. That sale will be the first week of March. Emily will be responsible for those, as well as we have just received $10 tickets for a barbecue dinner at Sharon Moravian on Saturday, March 10th. This will be a great event. There'll be a silent auction and a raffle. Just a great opportunity to raise money, eat good food, and really bless our kids as they go forth on our mission trip. It sounds almost 99% sure that they're going to Texas the last week of June through July, I think June 30th to July 6th. So I think it's going to be a great opportunity to serve God. Please don't forget the elders will meet on Monday, and then the trustees will meet at 7:30 on Wednesday, immediately after our Lenten programming. And then one other note, two other notes I wanted to make you aware of. Monday, February 26th, at the Kent State Performing Arts Center, there's going to be a program on kind of some of the mental health issues that our teenagers are wrestling with. It's going to be a great program. They actually have the lead school counselor from the Perry School System who's going to be there talking and being the keynote speaker. And I think it'll be a good opportunity. Many of you know about some of the struggles the Perry School District has had, just to show up in support of them. And our first responders can be some of the people who go through some of the toughest situations. But it's important for us to not only uplift them, but to look for new opportunities to reach out for our teens who are going through difficult situations. And then please don't forget in the back, Rick has put out a sign-up sheet for our ushers and greeters for March and April. Please sign up for that when you are ready. At this time, I'd like to ask if anybody else has any other announcements. All right, let us stand and greet one another.
Good morning, Alicia.
Good morning, Ash.
Thank you.
You may be seated as we will join together in sharing the watchword of the week. And our watchword this week comes from the 25th chapter of Psalm, verse 8. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way. Amen.
Please stand for the call to worship found in your bulletin. To you, O Lord, we lift up our souls. Help us to know your ways, Lord. Teach us your paths. Do not remember the transgressions of our ways. According to your steadfast love, remember us. Please turn to hymn 341.
You may be seated. In our prayers, we have a lot to reflect on this week. I want to give thanks to the wonderful Ash Wednesday service we were able to host for all the people who volunteered to help out with that. We had almost 70 people here, Lutherans, Episcopalians, Methodists, Presbyterians, all together to worship God and to begin the Lenten journey together. It was powerful to see. And we continue to pray for God's comfort and reflection and meditation during this Lenten season. We uplift the Indian Valley kids who are on their band trip to Chicago, and we wish for them safe travel to and forth, and also that they don't get contagious from the Bears and Cubs and White Sox fans in Chicago, and they look a little further north if they want to cheer for something. We also continue to uplift Jackie Pasquinelli in prayer. She continues to be recovering from her car accident. We uplift Steve as well. We realize this is a busy time of year for both of you, so we just pray for some respite and some opportunity to heal and recover. We also rejoice that Millie Weston celebrated a new great-grandson in Nolan this this past week, and we rejoice with her family and celebrate. We uplift the Bonnell family in prayer. They traveled out to Cincinnati this week to go visit some family and friends, and they'll also be traveling down to Florida to hang out with Don and Becky down there. So we wish them prayers for safe travel. And we also uplift Linda Bennington's cousin, Larry, who's in a nursing home now recovering, and we pray for his continued recovery. And then we also pray for the Parkland schools in Florida. I'm sure many of you heard the news story on Wednesday about the 17 or 19 people who passed away, and we continue to uplift this community to give them prayer, support, and comfort. We continue to pray for our country, as this seems to be a news story that's happening way too much. And we continue to pray that we stop looking for people to blame and we start looking for solutions, that nothing is put off the table when it comes to the safety of our children, and that we pray that all our children have a safe and comfortable school to go to. At this time, as we share our prayers, I will share the words in our prayer from Bishop Sam Gray, who shared some fitting words for our prayer time that I would like to share with you. So let us take some moments in silence and invite God into our sanctuary. Gracious God, today we repent. We lean hard into the grace of God and the goodness of his mercy. We take a long, hard look at our hearts. We search deep into those things we bury within us. We open our hands and lose our grips on the things we believe define us, for better or worse. We pray to be picked up, brushed off, and carried to the banquet tables as daughters and sons of the King. Today we repent, not just for our own sins, but for the collective sins of our nation. We stand in the gap for the hurting and pray for the healing. We stand begging the Lord that his perfect peace be present and evident for those who feel lost and afraid right now. We pray for comforting arms to wrap around those who will never embrace loved ones again. May the senseless loss of life never cease to shake us to our cores and leave tears on our cheeks. May we keep working towards God's peace, no matter how hard the work gets. In your wonderful name we pray. Amen.
The first scripture lesson comes from Genesis chapter 9, verses 8 through 17, and it can be found on page 6. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that was with you, the birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals, all those that came out of the ark with you, every living creature on earth. I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be cut off by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, This is the sign of the covenant I am making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth. So God said to Noah, This is the sign of the covenant I have established between me and all life on the earth.
Thank you, Jacob. Our gospel today comes from the first chapter of Mark, verses 9 to 15. At the time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." At once the Spirit sent him out in the desert, and he was in the desert 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended to him. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." This is the reading of God's holy word. May it reach your hearts, your minds, and your actions. Thanks be to God. At this time, I invite the children to come forward for our children's moment. Come on up. So how's everybody doing this week? Awesome. Did you have a good week at school?
Yeah.
Fun? You excited? You guys, who is Monday off? For President's Day? You guys probably don't even keep track of that. That's like 24 hours away.
That's tomorrow.
Yeah, it's tomorrow. So what we're going to talk about is things that we are scared of this week. Does anybody have anything they're scared of?
I know
what. Aubrey, what are you scared of? Monsters. I'm scared of monsters too. Paige, what are you?
Spiders.
Spiders. Speaking of spiders, let me show you one spider I'm scared of. Can you imagine that spider? That's a huge spider with blue eyes. You see his blue eyes? And he just crawls kind of on you. What is it you think makes spiders so scary? Paige. Their teeth, their venom, they have eight legs. That's pretty, not a lot of things have eight legs. That's pretty scary too. And they're not exactly the cutest thing, right? Brandon, what do you think about spiders? They look scary, huh? Just real scary. They're not very cute and cuddly. Nobody's sharing their cute baby spider pictures on Facebook. What about, who's afraid of heights? Anybody afraid of heights going way up tall? I am. I had to climb way up tall in gym class one time, and my teacher had to coax me to jump back down because it was very... So I want to show you the scariest place for heights in the world. This is Mont Blanc, which is in the French Alps. And if you look into it, it's on a glass floor at 12,600 feet above the skyline, above the sky. So 12,600 feet, that's like 1,000 of me stacked up tall. Actually, it'd be 2,000 of me stacked up tall. And you'd be that tall over. Who would be scared to be up there? I would be super scared to be up there, especially on a glass.
I would want to live up there.
You'd want to live up there? You would have fun up there?
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
So I could fall down.
You wouldn't want to fall down because you're not getting back up. And then I want to talk about something that I had a fear of when I was little that might be a little bit weird, but hey, everybody's got their own thing they're feared of. Is anybody else scared of these guys? Clowns?
Oh, yeah.
How about adults? Who's scared of clowns out there? Yeah.
Yeah, there's one clown I am scared of.
There's,
you know what,
they can be silly, too.
Exactly. There's one clown I'm really scared of. You know who it is?
Who's that?
Pennywise the clown.
I'll have to look him up. And it's funny because clowns are supposed to be funny. They're supposed to be joyful, but their makeup and kind of their very flamboyant energy and just drive can sometimes scare us away because we're not used to seeing clowns. Who sees clowns in school in their everyday life? Nobody. And then one other one I want to talk to is anybody scared of ghosts? Oh, I am so terrified of ghosts. That's the Casper ghost. They're kind of friendly, but they're kind of mean. But what's that? Oh, he can't tell me the ghost he's not scared of. Okay.
What makes ghosts so scary? Paige. Mm-hmm. Aubrey, what about you? What makes a ghost so scary? They jump out? Yep. Brandon? They hide? Yeah, they do hide. Rylan? They can go through walls and we don't know. Sometimes we don't know if it's our mind playing tricks or if we're just, something surprises us. Sometimes we can get scared. So that's something that scares us. But in our sermon today, we're going to talk about something different. We're going to talk about fear. And fear is a different level. Scared is just being kind of frightened by something. But a fear is something that we internalize that we're afraid of. Like, I'll never be good enough at something. For example, when I was in your age, I was in the third grade, and you know what class I had the hardest time with? You guys probably don't even have this class anymore. Cursive handwriting. I was awful at it. I could not write cursive. You've never even heard of that. That's a good thing. I'm happy about that. And you know what happened for me? The more I practiced and the worse I kept not seeing the results, the more I got afraid of doing cursive handwriting. So it became something I internalized, something that I didn't like doing. And even to this day, I'll kind of write in like half capital letters, half cursive. It's very, very developed handwriting in Sanskrit kind of. But sometimes what I want to say to you is that sometimes we take things and we become so scared of something that we think we can't do something. But you know who's willing to help us with that? Jesus is willing to help us with that, Brandon. And whenever we struggle with things that really scare us, whether it's something in school, whether it's something at home, maybe you guys have a class that you're really struggling with, or maybe it's a sport. Some people can be really scared of gym class. And I want you to remember that Jesus is always going to help you. And you can always pray to him, because he's going to help you relieve your anxiety and not be so scared of a situation. Because guess what? Everybody experiences fear. Who out in the congregation has ever experienced fear at one time? We all go through it. So I don't want you guys ever to feel like you're alone in that, because we all struggle with our fears, and God helps us through that. So at this time, we're going to do our joyful noise offering for RYC. So if you guys want to take a can. Yep. And we're going to raise it for our regional youth council, which kind of runs our Tar Hollow and makes that running smoothly and keeps our kids alive and active. Was that? Oh, go for it. Aubrey. There you go, Paige. Somebody want to get Jean Ann over here? Paige, you want to? All right, let's bring them right up here. Whoa, good job. Really good job. All right, let's bring them up. Yep, we'll do our prayer. Good job, everybody. Thank you so much. That's going to help a lot of people. Good job. Shake it on up. All right, let's get in our circle and we'll do our prayer. And you know what? We're going to pray for somebody special this week, somebody I've forgotten our prayer concerns. We're going to pray for Nick Menapace, who's been feeling kind of sick. He's got the flu bug going around. So we'll pray for him because we've all kind of struggled with that this season. So let's pray. God, we come before you thankful for these children and all the wonderful things they do in and outside of our congregation. We ask that you be with Nick and help him to feel better and recover quickly. And we ask that you be with these kids as they go throughout their school lives and protect them and help them to see the wonderful gift that learning and education is, and help them to enjoy this world with love and laughter and a kind heart. In your name we pray. Amen. Oh, Kimber. That's okay, it happens. Oh, Ryan, we can leave that right there, yep. Everybody grab a treat. They're fruity snacks, yep. You want one, Brandon? Go for it. At this time, we will join together in singing God's praise. I'll invite you to stand as we are going to sing a song. We do not have this in our bulletin, so you're going to have to read off the screen. We're going to sing it through twice since it's a nice and quick and fast song. And let us join together in sharing God's praise. For our message today, we decided to shake things up a little bit for Lent and do things a little differently. So it is my pleasure for Lent, we're going to be doing a sermon skit series on the curious adventures of a young man named Mo Avian. Oh yeah, that's a true Moravian pun right there. And this story is going to feature the emotions that we've seen on our back of the bulletin that we're talking about. So each week we're going to go through the themes of the week. And this week we're going to look at the theme of fear and how fear can play an impact on how we interpret the Bible.
And I really think this week was fitting with all that's happened in our world, how it just so happened to be. This is the week we're talking about fear. And so we're going to have four actors. We're going to have Moavian, who will be played by Jacob. Harley is going to be our angel. She's going to be Countess von Zinzendorf, Zinzendorf's wife. And then we're going to have our broadcasters, Kira and Charlotte, who are going to be our newscasters. And I will play the part of the narrator. And I think this will be a good lighthearted opportunity to talk about God's love and talk about some of these deeper emotions. And if you want, I always have a spare sermon on the Greek exegesis of the scripture that we can look at if you guys get bored with that. But I think you will enjoy this instead. And I think it will be a great opportunity as we look at these young people who get an opportunity to lead us in worship. So let us begin our journey on the part one, the story of Moavian. He has nothing to fear. And I will begin our journey as our narrator today, sharing God's love. So our story today follows the life and times of a young faithful man named Moavian, who struggles to find his place in a scary and unforgiving world. He sees the world through a lens of fear and just does what he can to survive this world. Our journey begins with Moavian beginning his morning ritual by waking up and watching the morning news.
Good morning, Ohio.
We begin our morning with the news that the governor of Ohio has raised the terrorism alert status from yellow to orange after a bomb scare in Cleveland. The Dow Jones plummeted once again yesterday, and economists predict another recession is on the horizon.
Also, the CDC is reporting the highest amount of influenza cases in over 80 years. The director of the CDC said any form of human contact right now is as dangerous as children playing with matches.
Oh boy, we're living in such a bad world when there's so much evil. This world stinks. I'm just gonna stay in bed where it's safe and never leave the house.
Moavian, you are a fool. Stop this pity party of yours this instant.
Who are you? Are you one of those violent people who's come to abduct me?
Don't be ridiculous. I am your guardian angel, Countess von Zinzendorf. I am here to help you.
Well, unless you can teleport me straight to heaven, I don't see how a guardian angel is going to help me. Can you stop all the violence? How about all the corruption, lying, and stealing? Can you stop millions of innocent people from getting sick?
No, I cannot fix any of that. However, I can help you change your cynical perception of how you view this world.
I'm not cynical. I'm a realist. If you truly are an angel, you should realize the Holy Scriptures support my opinion. They remind us that the end times are near. Revelation 9 said, "And the fifth angel blew his trumpet, and I saw a star that had fallen from heaven to earth, and he was given the key to the shaft of the bottomless pit. He opened the shaft of the bottomless pit, and from the shaft rose smoke like the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened with the smoke from the shaft." Don't you see that God is coming with judgment for this evil world?
You know, when reading a book, even a holy Bible, as important as the Bible, holy book, as important as the Bible, it is important to start at the beginning instead of skipping to the end. Why don't you check out the first chapter of Genesis, verse 27 and 31?
So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. Angel, you're taking those words out of context.
Aren't you doing the same with all those scary passages from Revelation?
What do you mean?
John wrote that book during a time when Christians faced intense persecution. Revelation was written to remind people that even in the worst possible things happened, God will not abandon them. It wasn't intended to be a roadmap to the end of days.
Persecution, now you're talking. Countess, you lived in the glory days of Christianity in the 1700s. Everyone was Christian and everyone was happy. It's not like nowadays where everyone gives Christians a hard time.
The glory days? You mean when all my family and friends were kicked out of our lands in Germany and had to surrender the only homes we ever knew because the government did not like our religion? Then we had to get on a rickety wooden ship and make the treacherous journey across the Atlantic Ocean to the colonies. What persecution have you faced, Mo?
Sometimes the barista at Starbucks gives us cups that say Happy Holidays instead of Merry Christmas.
Wow, that must be rough. Do you know how lucky you are to have religious freedom? My people could only dream for the freedom of practice of their own religion.
I guess you're right, but there is still so much violence in this world. It makes it hard to believe that humanity's good. The news seems to be littered with tragedies. Why doesn't God stop any of it?
Perhaps you should use the news of your barometer of God's influence in this world. The news focuses on what increased ratings instead of painting an accurate assumption of humankind. Go for a walk in the park and see children fully alive with laughter and play. Go walk through a hospital. Yes, you will see people sick and dying, but you will see many more people getting healthy and recovering thanks to the miracle of medicine. It is important to see God's world through God's eyes if you want to see God's impact on the world. Every single day, in very small ways, God's world keeps getting better.
I see your point, but it's just so hard. Everyone on social media is so negative and scared. It's not hard to get sucked into that.
Mo, I didn't say it would be easy. The decision to see the world as a negative or positive place will always be your choice. God loves us too much to take away our free will.
But what if I can't do it on my own?
God doesn't want you to do it on your own. Jesus will be your guiding light, and your church family will be there for you when you need them. None of us can serve God alone. We have all been blessed by God with the gift of community.
Thanks, Angel. Looks like I'm going to have to get out of bed if I want to serve God. I guess there's a more important emotion than fear to rule my life.
What's that?
Love. Love for God, love for my neighbors, and love for this beautiful world.
Amen.
I want to thank our wonderful actors for our first rendition in the story of Moravian. And listen to the words that they said about, you know, not letting fear dictate our lives. And we have the choice between seeing this world as a negative or a positive place. And it's not always an easy choice to see this world as a positive place, but Jesus and Christ remind us that it is a worthwhile choice, that when we're willing to see this world through the eyes of God, we have a gift, and it is a gift we need to share the world with. So we'll switch it up throughout the weeks. Next week we'll try to get some of you adults involved, and we'll have some fun with this and really get to see how God's love inspires us in many different ways. At this time, I invite you to stand as we join together in song, praising God once again. Please rise.
may be seated.
Let us join together in community as we celebrate, as we go together on this Lenten journey together, hand in hand, heart to heart, fixed on Jesus. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
Amen.
I invite you now to share the right hand of fellowship with your brothers and sisters. Pray together. Gracious God, today we give you thanks for the gift of community, for family, friends, neighbors, for those in our church who passionately care and love us. Gracious God, most of all, we give thanks for you, for your unconditional love that sustains and cares for each one of us in a personal in universal way. Gracious God, we thank you so much that you loved us, that you were willing to go to the cross for us, that you were willing to lay down your life for each and every one of us. Help each one of us hold that into our hearts and live our lives out of a spirit of gratitude and thanksgiving for the gifts that you remind us of. And when we lose our way, remind us to keep focus on your words, as you were the one who taught us so wonderfully to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." You may be seated. Plagiarize. Our Lord Jesus said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you." By your divine presence, by the holy sacraments, by all the merits of your life, suffering, death, and resurrection.
Let them come for us, gracious Lord and God. Amen.
In the same way, after supper, our Lord Jesus Christ took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." You may be seated.
Thank you.
drive. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "Drink from this, all of you. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me." Christ, the Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. This bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death
until he comes.
Let us share the right hand of fellowship. And keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Go in peace, brothers and sisters.